A reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh, and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles. Neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath, so that we shall not perish. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. Verbum Domini.
Deo gratias.
A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will rise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." Verbum Domini. This episode in the gospel begins a bit earlier. This is a continuation of a discussion that started when Jesus cast a demon out of a man. And there were two responses. One was of the opponents who said, "This man casts out demons by the power of Satan." And another response was, "Show us a sign." Meanwhile, the third response actually was a woman in the crowd who responded with faith. "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus responds to her, because, of course, that beatitude, as wonderful as it is, directed to his mother, Jesus expands the beatitude and says, rather, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Something that, of course, also very much applied to his mother, especially in the Gospel of Luke, where she heard the word of God and kept it. So these three responses are given, and right now, in this part of the interchange, because this is an ongoing interchange, that just more people are gathering around Jesus as this dispute takes place. And our Lord responds to the second guy who said, "Give us a sign." Now, this is an ongoing problem. It's a recurring problem, rather, throughout the Gospels, because our Lord will do a miracle, and then people in the crowd will say, "Give us a sign." What did you just see? Were you born this ignorant? You just saw a sign. This guy had a demon cast out. And they can't see what is in front of them and respond like the woman did, with, you know, saying, "Wow, this," the way of saying, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you," is a way of praising Jesus for what he just did. She can recognize the action of God, and the other folks can't see what just happened in front of them. They can't see the transformation that God accomplishes. This is the key problem. And it's an interesting response that our Lord gives. In seeking the sign, He identifies them as an evil generation, and they will get no sign except the sign of Jonah. It's very odd. Because when you read the book of Jonah, he didn't do any signs in Nineveh. He didn't do any miracles. He just simply preached, repent, because in 3 days the Lord is going to destroy Nineveh. Now, why pick on Nineveh? By the way, Nineveh is today the Iraqi city of Mosul. The ruins of Nineveh are in that city. It's now a Christian city, or had been before, ISIS attacked. But it was a long time Christian city with many, many churches and monasteries, because the Assyrian people have converted to Christ. St. Thomas the Apostle and his two disciples, Mari and Adai, were there, and they proclaimed the gospel, and Mari and Adai stayed with those folks and continued to help them grow in the faith. So it's a very ancient Christian community going back to the apostles. But their ancestors were not so good. Their ancestors back in the time of Jonah, back in the 8th century and 7th century, until the Nineveh was destroyed by the Babylonians and Medes, was known throughout the ancient world as a very cruel place. You know, we look back in modern times, and we still look at the devastation of the Nazi Third Reich as the epitome of evil. It, by the way, was not the worst evil in existence. Communism was far, far more destructive. But we look to the Third Reich because Hitler had what I like to call a very hot anger. He was always yelling and all this, whereas Joseph Stalin had dry ice in his heart. That made him far more vicious. But you can look at either one of those experiences, and they were very short-lived, but the epitomes of evil in modern times. It's hard to find worse governments killing more people and isolating, and the ancient Assyrians were known for that. For instance, if you go to the University of Chicago, where they have the Oriental Institute, you can see these stone carvings of Assyrian, they're in bas-relief, but it's Assyrian soldiers walking with a head in each hand, and neither one was their own. This, they would typically decapitate everybody in a city until the pile of heads reached the city gate. Now, this is cruel, and they were known for that. That's why Jonah was so resistant to going there. And the reason I mention this, the ancient cruelty, this lasted not for, 13, 14 years like the Third Reich did, but it lasted within the intensity of its violence for about 150 years, from the 740s all the way until 609. So this is, BC, that is. So this is something that was a long time, and that's why, when Jonah is resisting going there, who would want to go and preach? Can you imagine standing in front of the Kremlin saying, Joseph Stalin, you better repent or you'll go to hell? I don't think you'd be there long, that you'd be removed. And Jonah was afraid of that. But he never did a sign, And the people of Nineveh repented and went into sackcloth and ashes and fasting. This is how they responded. And again, with no miracle, no great sign in the sky, nothing like that, simply the preaching of the word of God. And Jesus is saying, what I say to you is even greater than what Jonah had said. And by the way, remember Jonah, his attitude was, to get mad when the people of Nineveh repented. He's the most successful prophet in the Old Testament. Nobody ever listened to any of the other prophets like the Ninevites listened to Jonah, and he gets mad at it because he wanted them to fry. He wanted to see them destroyed. These people deserve it. Get them. And he gets mad at God at the end of the book, and he said, I knew you'd forgive them. That's what's wrong with you up there in heaven. You're too forgiving. And our Lord is also part of that whole sign of Jonah, that he is not looking to say, all right, there's a bad one, bam. No, he's there to bring forgiveness. He's there to bring reconciliation. He's looking for the sinners to bring them back to God, not to destroy them. And the people of his day don't accept him as a sign. See, that's the key thing. Jonah's word was itself all the sign the Ninevites got. Solomon and his wisdom was all the sign that the Queen of Sheba got. And Jesus, with his word, was the primary sign, even though he was giving other signs of casting out demons, healing the blind, helping cripples to walk, curing lepers, even raising the dead. He was giving these signs and his word, and still there was this close-mindedness to his message, because ultimately a lot of people don't want to face their own responsibility for the sins they commit, and they don't want to say, yeah, I was wrong. What I did was wrong, and I need to repent. That's ultimately the issue at stake. This is not a problem that happened in the past at the time of Jesus. This is an ongoing issue. That's one of the very important reasons that this passage is still part of the New Testament. It was told by the apostles, and we still read it at this time of Lent. There would be many people in our society, and in just as in societies past, who don't want to repent. Think of the great resistance, despite regular church teaching against slavery, where people kept on doing it for hundreds of years anyway. Think of today, where the church calls us away from evils such as abortion and euthanasia. The church seeks a culture of life rather than one of death, and how even many Catholics still reject it, just as they did the teaching against slavery. And we see in so many other areas, we can reflect, and folks resist hearing the word of Christ for the most part. There are other reasons at times for people to be atheists. Sometimes they reject God because, they look for a really good help from him, and they didn't get a sign, and they, get mad at God. But most of us priests would recognize that the majority of folks who reject the gospel do so because they don't want to let go of their sin. This is a flat reality. They think this is going to comfort them. This is going to solve the problems of their lives. Sometimes, like with many of the proponents of abortion and such, this will solve the problems of global warming, et cetera. They use a variety of arguments, and they don't want to repent. Whereas we look to Jesus, the Son of Man, to be that sign that calls us to repent. And that's where we begin with ourselves, not just blaming everybody else. We start with ourselves. And as people who recognize Jesus as the sign of Jonah to repent of sin, we go forward into our world and call others to do the same and come to him for salvation and forgiveness, as the Lord gave the Ninevites and gives to anyone that comes to Christ our Lord.